John Amador, Dave Burns, hanging out with you live from the Auction Community Studios. Thanks for hanging out with us. Phoenix Suns, and mercifully in the All-Star break.
You kind of wish it was just the end of the season.
They need a break. We need a break. Everybody needs
a break. It's a separation. I'm going to go stay in a hotel for a week. And then we'll just see how we feel about each other when we come back.
You know, my wife watches Friends reruns all the time. I just thinking of that. Yeah. We were on a break line from Ross.
Yeah,
we were on a break right now from the Phoenix Suns.
We don't want a divorce. We still love each other. I just need a break.
Need a break.
You get on my nerves a lot.
I still love them. I still will
always
love them.
We're spending way too much time together. We're spending way too much time together.
We need other interests. We need other hobbies right now.
Yes.
That's what it is. We're just spending way too much time with each other. You need to go find some hobbies. I need to go find some hobbies.
Describe your relationship with the Phoenix. That'd be a good one, Spencer. Describe your relationship with the Phoenix Suns one sentence.
We're on a break right now.
What is your relationship with the Phoenix Suns?
They lose last night to the Clippers 134-107. Yeah. That's now 15 straight games. And I'm going to tell you, you asked me earlier what my number one takeaway from that game was last night, and it was so difficult to watch. But the number one takeaway from me were the comments made by Devin Booker going into that game, talking about how it was a much needed win. A win would be better going into the break mentally. Remember, Devin Booker was the one who said, frankly, I don't think we deserve an All-Star break. I think we need to work on our games. He went on to say a couple of days ago before the Clippers game, be professional. Every day you come out here, live your dream. Come out here and play with heart, play with pride, play with passion. You asked me my number one takeaway from last night's game. That's my number one takeaway. I didn't see any of that out of Devin Booker. No. I saw a guy that when that game went south, man, he was looking around for the bus to see when they were going to start it up. When can I get out of here and start my break? And they were all like that, but he played one of the most disengaged basketball games I've seen out of him all year long. And to be a max guy, to say the stuff that he said a couple days ago that comes with being a max guy, and then to back it up with that performance, I found to be terribly disappointing. Terribly.
You know, you were asking the question, you know, is Devin Booker untouchable? I mean, he's not Michael Jordan, okay? So if let's just cut to the chase here. Let's be somewhat honest. You want to build the organization around Booker and Ayton. You do. You want to build it around them. You gave him a max contract. You believe in his ability. He's a great player. He's not a top 25 player in the NBA. You know, he's not a top 20 or 25 player in this league. You have to explore every option that's out there. If not, you're an idiot. You're a stupid idiot. Like, to sit there, I mean, you never know what can come up. But a lot of the greatest players in the history of this game have been traded. Again, he's not Michael Jordan. He's not LeBron James. He's a very good player. And if you could build a good team around him, you do that. But you have to explore what packages you could get for him if somebody calls and they're interested. Listen, I'll tell you what. I mean, this draft is not about just Zion Williamson. This RJ Barrett is a fantastic player, plays the same position as Booker. Now, I'm not saying that you trade Booker. I'm saying that if somebody calls you about Devin Booker, you don't just hang up the phone. What do you think? You should always find out what a player's value is. Always. Kevin Towers, he did that with Justin Upton away.
Even though you just signed him, even though the max contract even kicked in yet,
it doesn't mean anything. I mean, if he's got value, I mean, but what is the value? I mean, for the most part, you're probably not going to find any trades that you like because he's such a good player. You've got another kid in this draft, RJ Barrett. He's fantastic. He plays the same position as Booker. If you didn't get Zion Williamson, could you draft RJ Barrett and play the two of them together? Sure, they both handle the ball. Barrett is more athletic than Booker. He's got more length than Booker. He could play in transition. He's not as good in a half-court game. I mean, you know, so you could keep Booker and trade RJ. You could trade Booker and keep RJ. You could explore other options. You need to find the players to play with Booker and Ayton, and that's the problem. You need to identify the players that you want to play with Booker and Ayton. If you didn't get Zion Williamson and you drafted, RJ, they can coexist if you want them to. They both handle the ball. They're both good. So there are a lot of ways that you can go. But to sit there and say that the Suns should never, ever consider trading Devin Booker, that's idiotic. Not a general manager in the league would tell you that. This isn't Michael Jordan. If somebody calls and says, hey, I'm going to give you, say the Lakers wanted to give you a package of Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kuzma, say somebody wanted to give you a package like that, or the Celtics package for Anthony Davis, and wanted to give you that for Booker. I mean, you'd be crazy not to listen to that offer. Crazy not to listen to an offer like that. He's a very good player. I like him. I hope they keep him. But of course you have to listen to offers.
James Jones on the midseason show on Monday, when talking about how Booker can improve, said this.
You talk about the load that he's carrying physically. He has to go to another level. You know, we're committed to helping him get to that next level, but, you know, he has to be available. You know, we have to keep him healthy. We have to get him stronger so that he's out there actually leading his teammates. And then as far as playing, Devin's a great scorer. He's always been a great scorer. He'll continue to grow as a playmaker. But he has to find a way to help his teammates figure out how to play with him. You know, he can do a lot of things by himself, but I think the challenge for any young player, for any good player, is trying to strike a balance between doing it yourself and allowing your teammates to help you.
Part of that's right, but part of it's wrong. I mean, you have no idea how hard it is on a young player like Booker to have to grow up in this environment of constantly losing and constantly pushing everything off to the future, and we're going to push it off to when you're older, and we're going to keep pushing it off and keep losing and keep getting draft picks and lottery picks. You're losing him mentally. You're losing him emotionally. The kid wants to be an all-star, but he's got no chance being on a team with 11 wins. He's got no chance to be an all-star. This it messes with everybody. It messed with Tyson Chandler. It messed with Jared Dudley. I mean, people want to blame the coach. We'll talk about that later, but there is a lot wrong with this organization. A lot. You don't lose the way they've lost for all these years and not have something seriously wrong with the organization. And yes, it starts at the top and the people that they've hired to be the coaches and the GMs over all of these years. But it also has to do with the players. Like, not getting right. You know, Book can only do so much. Like, well, you don't have the right players around him. You need better players around him.
I'm not happy with how Devin Booker played last night, but I am not going to stand on the table and advocate that it's time to get rid of him or it's time to think about getting rid of him. I am still convinced that Devin Booker is a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. I am still convinced that Devin Booker is a part of the next great Suns team. But I'm also convinced that until you upgrade the talent around him, and in particular, until you give him a point guard worth a darn playing next to him, you are never going to be able to find out what he's truly capable of on a basketball floor until you give him those tools around him.
That is true. I believe that.
Until you do that, every conversation about Devin Booker's role or future in this organization is borderline futile. What's the point of having a conversation about whether Devin Booker really is a part of the, of course he's a part of the long-term plans, until you get a guy who can maximize your return on Devin Booker?
Yeah,
always going to be spinning your wheels like this.
There's nobody on this team that makes the game easier for anyone else. Nobody. And that's the truth. There's not one player on this team that makes the game easier for anyone else on the team. And that's part of the problem.
Yes.
Like, you got to have guys that make it easier. You may make it better. You know, be able to find Book easy shots coming off of screens and get DeAndre the ball down low in the post where he could score and take advantage of a mismatch. Like, nobody on this entire roster makes the game easier for anybody else. The way the roster was constructed has been a problem.
We knew it was only a matter of time. And though it does not satisfy the conditions of our wager, one NFL mock draft did it today.
Oops.
We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Uh-oh. What's a good song for Valentine's Day?
Indeed.
All of My Love, Led Zeppelin.
Sure, that's exactly why Jordan played it right now. It's his Valentine to anybody listening right now.
My favorite Led Zeppelin song, too, by the way.
You had March 5th?
I did.
Jordan had March 6th. I had March 17th. And Sarah Cazell had April 1st. Those are the days in which we all predicted a legit mock draft. And we don't mean to demean all other mock drafts, though, let's be honest, some of them are worth demeaning. We say legit, a legit mock draft that has the Arizona Cardinals selecting Kyler Murray number one, right? Is it selecting Kyler Murray number one, or has a team moving up number one? That's
as
what it
long
is.
As Kyler Murray's going number one, it doesn't matter who's taking him. As long as he's number one,
Kyler Murray. That's what it is. Number one. Yep. That's what it is. You have March 5th. Jordan has March 6th. I have the 17th. Sarah Cazell has April 1st. We picked the Kuiper, McShay, Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks,
SI.com,
MMQB, and there was one other one from The Athletic. Brugler, right? Brugler's mock draft. Those are all guys who've been doing it a long, long time. Those are the six. In one of those six mock drafts, who's ever closest to the date that one of those mock drafts has Kyler Murray going number one overall in the draft, you win something.
Lunch or something.
Yeah, have we decided what it is?
I don't know. What did we decide?
I don't think we decided. It probably lunch.
Let's talk about a really good lunch.
Yeah,
the other three have to pay for a really good lunch. Yeah.
This is not that mock draft, but we're starting to get there. DraftWire.com, which is a sister website of CardsWire.com, which is a website you and I go to for a lot of Cardinals information. They did it.
They did it?
They went out there and did it. They got the Arizona Cardinals taking Kyler Murray first overall. Their draft expert, Luke Easterling, who was a guest on Bickley and Murata today, wrote that it is crazy to think that Murray made his firm commitment to football over baseball because he knows something we don't. Maybe Cliff Kingsbury wants to hand pick his franchise quarterback, one with a rare skill set who would fit perfectly with his offense. And then he talks about trading Murray and how they would put Josh Rosen on the trade block. So there it is.
So saying that, like, he picked football because he knows. He knows where he's going to get picked.
That is the conclusion that he has reached in writing what he wrote.
Hasn't even thrown at the combine.
Nope.
Hasn't even done an interview. That's impossible. There's no way that could be true. There's no way. He must just have a really good feeling that this is not a great quarterback class. And that you're in a really good spot to get drafted in the first round, maybe even in the top 10. I think it's more likely that. Now, estimated contract guarantees and signing bonus for the top NFL draft picks. You ready for this?
Yeah.
The number 10 overall pick will be guaranteed $11.9 million.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10. The number 5 will be guaranteed $19.5 million. And the number one overall pick will be guaranteed $23.8 million. Yep. So, that's contract guarantee and signing bonus. So, number one, the contract guarantee is $35 million. The signing bonus is $23. Number five, the contract guarantee is $29 million. The signing bonus is $19.5 million. And number 10, the contract guarantee is $19 million with the signing bonus $11.9 million. Hell of a lot more money than what he was going to get from the Oakland A's, unless the A's were going to pay him as like a rostered player. And then, but could they go that high at number one? Number one is $35 million guaranteed and a signing bonus of $23.8 million.
I don't know. I read a couple of days ago, I think it was Rosenthal, who reported that the A's are not closing the door on outbidding potentially what Kyler Murray could make at the NFL level. That they're at least keeping the option open. They haven't shut the door. It led me to read a story today on Pro Football Talk and it didn't insinuate that Kyler Murray was going to use it. It just said, look, he's got the power to dictate where he wants to go if he wants to use it. I'm not saying he's going to use it. He just has the power. He has the power to say, nope, don't want to go play there. I'll go play baseball instead. Because the A's are so... Baseball, I think, is so desperate to win this battle for Kyler Murray that they might be willing to give him that kind of money just to keep him in their sport.
You know,
crazy as it is to say.
The only thing is, I mean, how good of a baseball player is he? Like, I don't think he was that great.
Good enough to give him $20 million right out of the chute? I don't think so. I doubt it, but I think there's a little bit of pride on the line here, don't you think? Partial. I mean, I asked you yesterday how much of a victory is this for the NFL that Murray chose them over baseball? And we acknowledged it was a little bit of a victory.
Yeah, sure.
It's a little bit of a win. Well, sure. So here's baseball and the A's kind of saying, well, hold on a sec. We still might have an ace up our sleeve. We might have a way to get back in this game. And if he wants, Kyler Murray can, I'm not saying he will, but he can use that to his advantage in terms of dictating where he wants to go. I agree with you, though. There's no way that the only reason he declared for the draft was because he was told behind the scenes, hey, you're going to go number one to the Cardinals.
Right.
Ah, no.
Right.
No. Now, did he have a good sense that he was going to be a top 10 guy, a first round guy, and make more money doing something that he loves better than baseball? Probably. And that was probably enough for him to do it. I know this, Bill Barnwell was on Bickley and Marotta today, and he said that 2018 should not change at all how Arizona feels about Josh Rosen.
He thought last year, hey, this is a guy we want to trade up and grab. We think he is an NFL franchise quarterback. They're going to take him the first half of the first round. Nothing's changed. Yeah. The only reality is you've seen a guy play behind an unqualified offensive line. So to me, I wouldn't sit here and say, oh, I think Josh Rosen is going to be a bust based on what we saw last year. I think you need to give him a genuine shot behind a real offensive line, which hopefully is going to happen this year.
And something similar to what we've been talking about for many weeks now, Gambo, it makes a lot of sense for Arizona to drum up interest for Murray.
It's not about adding one star player. I don't think it's going to fix this roster. I think it's going to be about adding two or three very solid late first round, early second round pieces. So if you're the Cardinals, hey, maybe it makes sense to try and draw up Kyler Murray interest, absolutely, try and get someone who wants a quarterback to trade up, get the first overall pick. Maybe you get two or three first-rounders, or a couple first-rounders and a couple second-rounders, and you are able to sort of rebuild your team that way.
There's a part of it that really just, like, this is more on Kyler Murray than it is on the Cardinals trying to drum up interest in him. He's got to go kill it. Go kill it at the combine. Go blow everybody away in the interviews. Go make people think that you are a franchise-altering quarterback, and you have to be and then, you know, if... And the other thing is, too, like, here's what I would do if I'm the Cardinals. More so than showing that they have interest in Kyler Murray, they've got to show that they're, yeah, we've gotten several calls about the number one pick. Oh, really? It's not about them, because if the Cardinals fall in love with Kyler Murray, there's nothing any other team can do.
All right.
The Cardinals love Kyler Murray. We want to trade up to number one to get Kyler. No, we love him. We're taking him. So what the Cardinals could do to trade him is, you know what? Yeah, it's been a lot of interest. We've gotten four or five phone calls from teams that are interested in moving up for number one. Yeah, some teams, you know, really like Nick Bosa, but yeah, several teams are interested in Kyler Murray that need a quarterback. I mean, that's the word they got to get out more than anything else, right? Is that they're getting calls on the number one pick, because nobody else knows. Like, the Miami Dolphins don't know that the Washington Redskins are calling the Cardinals, and vice versa. That's the one thing I will tell you, that kind of gets kept secret.
Sure.
Like, so if a team is saying, we're getting calls on the number one pick, these other teams are like, oh, man. So for me to get my guy, I might have to get up to number one because the Cardinals are getting a lot of calls. So that's where you can really make the most hay, is by letting people know that you're getting a lot of calls on the pick.
Phoenix Suns limping into the All-Star break. I think that's doing a disservice to the word limping into the All-Star break with just 11 wins. So in trying to determine what the problem is, how much of it's on Igor? That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show. By the way, for those of you still keeping score at home, I do indeed still owe John Gambadoro lunch.
One lunch.
Yeah, one lunch.
Is that the Igor Kokoschkov lunch?
Yeah, the Igor Kokoschkov
lunch.
Not getting a technical foul. It's so funny. I was just watching the highlights again a second ago of Steve Kerr losing his mind last night in that Warriors-Blazers game. And I thought,
that was such a terrible call, though.
Come on, Igor, just once.
Come on, Igor.
I mean, come on, just once. Slam the clipboard down on the bench so hard the mics pick it up. Lose your mind. Throw your fists around a little bit. Don't hit anybody. But Steve Kerr was kind of, and it was a terrible call. It was a terrible call that Steve Kerr got run in that game for last night. But man, just once, Igor, would it kill you? Just once to lose your mind? Apparently, I mean, he was even on Newsmakers Week with Doug and Wolf earlier this week, and he was asked if he's, okay, you haven't lost it in front on the court in front of all of us. Have you at least lost it in the locker room behind closed doors?
So you have lost it in the locker room this year?
Lost it. I mean, I haven't, but, you know, like, you're upset. You know, if you something going wrong, you know, your team and guys should know that, and they know how I feel.
He hasn't even lost it in the locker room. Of course I was never going to win that bet.
I'm a moron for making it.
Well, what's the Marotta Bickley bet?
Is the whole
the
season.
End of the year, right?
It's the whole season. So he's got 20-something games left to get a technical.
If he gets one technical by the end of the season, Bickley wins the bet, and Marotta's looking better. And if we can't even get Igor to lose his mind in the locker room, how the hell is he going to lose it outside of the locker room? My money's on Marotta to win that bet now. And I owe you a lunch because I thought he was going to get a technical in eight games.
What would I get if I could actually pick a day that he'll get a technical and he gets a technical?
Well, then I would accuse you of insider trading.
Oh, you would.
Absolutely. The Securities Exchange Commission would come and arrest you for insider trading. I would think you'd know.
Okay.
Is it?
We'll make that bet then.
They've lost 15 straight games. All-star break. Morale is as low as it could possibly be for a basketball team. Just got humiliated last night by the L.A. Clippers. And the Clippers are an okay team, but not good enough to go humiliating the Phoenix Suns like that. Is it time to have the Igor conversation? Is it time to have the...
You can have any conversation you want. I mean, you have to. When you've got 11 wins, you have to have every conversation in the world. I mean, there's no conversation you shouldn't have. I mean, I get people, oh, you come on, it's too early to... I got Chris Lewis, our good friend, saying, it's too early to talk about trading Booker. They just signed him. I'm not saying to trade him. I'm not saying trade. I'm just saying, like you're stupid if you're not open to every discussion out there. If some team calls you and... You know, since I want to talk about any one of your players, you'd be an idiot not to talk. Yeah, this team hasn't won in 8 years, 9 years. I mean, they've got 11 wins. I mean, it'd be ridiculous if some team calls you, wants to talk about one of your players. You got 11 wins. There's nobody untouchable on an 11-win basketball team. Come on. I mean, let's be somewhat serious here. I mean, it's not that, do I want to trade Devin Booker? No, I don't want to trade Devin Booker. If somebody calls me and says, I'm going to offer you 3 first-round picks, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, okay. I'll trade him. Like, he's not a top 20 player in this league. He's good. I like him. I hope you can build a winner around him. But if somebody called and made an absurd offer or a great offer, I would trade him. He's not Michael Jordan. Now, with Igor Kokoshkov, listen, every discussion has to be made. General manager, coach, everything. I mean, you can't have the owner discussion. He owns the team. But you can have the discussion on whether James Jones should be the GM, whether Igor Kokoshkov should be the coach, whether the assistant coaches are the right assistant coaches, whether you have the right players. I will tell you, this isn't Igor's fault. Like, you think this is not the coach's fault. Like, they don't have anybody on this team that makes anybody better, like we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just going through a list earlier. Like, how many players have they had brought in here that aren't even in a damn league anymore? Like, not even in a league. Tyler Ulis, Daniel House, Alan Williams, Isaiah Kanan. Marquise Chriss is one step away from never playing in a league. Dragan Bender will be out of the league next year. Mike James, Archie Goodwin. Man, it's been, how many players are not even in the league that, like, played, guys that played on this roster? You know, this is, I do not believe that it's the coach's fault. You know, you're bringing a knife to a gunfight expression. It's just, is he a quality coach? Sure. I mean, guy's been coaching his whole life. He knows what he's doing. It's not his fault. Doesn't matter who the coach is, and you don't have the right mix of players. You're so young. They're way too young to win right now. Now, that's not to say that if you let this ride for 3 years, if you let it ride, this might be a great basketball team. It might be. But we don't know, and everybody's run out of patience, so that's why the plan's changing. The plan was, let's see what happens when these guys are 25, 26, 27. Maybe we'll get all these lottery picks, we'll put them together, but the losing is so great, nobody knows. I mean, you literally could keep this team together, keep adding draft picks, and someday they might be a great team. They might be. Nobody could tell you they're not going to be. But I think the patience is worn out with waiting for this team to be great because it's still far away.
You know why the patience is? Because we're not seeing any progress towards that vision.
Right.
None.
None.
We've seen no, I mean, this was supposed to be the year of at least progress towards that goal.
Sacramento.
Right? Exactly. This was supposed to be the year where we started to see that win total creep up a little bit to make you believe it was going to creep up a little bit next year. This was supposed to be the year. And instead, in their, what was the stat that I read earlier in the show? In their last, here it is. I got this from Evan Sidery over at Bright Side of the Sun. In their last 85 games, Phoenix has a record of 13-72. Chew on that number for just a second.
Alex Avila's batting average is still lower than that.
Alex,
oh my God. Oh my God.
25% of those losses. Again, Evan, thank you very much for this info. 25% of those losses have been by 20 points or more. If you think that's just the... Now, that dates back to the end of last season when Triano was the interim coach. If you think that's just a coach problem...
No, it's not.
That's an everything problem.
It's an organizational problem.
And
I mean, they've got two people in their, you know, their cap strategy analytics department. Other organizations have nine.
They don't do anything like any other teams do. They don't. They don't do anything like anybody else does. They've hired a lot of people that are in over their head. They've hired a lot of people that don't have experience. You know, I mean, I don't know what direction they're going to go. Do they keep James? Do they hire an experienced GM? I mean, James has a plan right now. He's got a plan put in place. He wants to go, you know, go get a bunch of veteran free agents in the 25 to 30 age category, which is probably what they need.
But I know, but as we talked about yesterday, it sounds like kind of a flimsy plan. It sounds like a plan that isn't rooted in it. It sounds like it's kind of a dream more than a plan. I don't know if they're going to execute that plan. I don't know if they're going to be able to accomplish everything they want to accomplish. I mean, it sounds like an awful lot that they want to do. I don't think they're going to be able to do any of it. I'm going to continue to say it. Please, please, please hire people who have experience at this stuff.
But then you got to
let them do it.
Okay.
And I know.
My understanding is that Budenholzer made demands.
Well, sure.
Made demands. This organization has not been willing to give up control to people like that.
And that's a problem.
But that's what it may be.
Until you get to the point
where you want to give up total control to somebody or trust somebody enough to give up total control.
How much more of this needs to transpire before you're willing to do that? How much more of this are you willing to tolerate if you're the Phoenix Suns organization, you're Robert Sarver, before you finally say, enough, I'm going to hand it over to a guy like Griff and let him do it.
Griff would be great.
I'm going to hand it over to a guy like Budenholzer and let him do it, because every person has their breaking point, and then at some point they would go, okay, the first time GM, not doing that anymore. The first time head coach, not doing that anymore. We're going to hire somebody who knows what they're doing, who's got a resume that has proven they know what they're doing, and we're going to let them do it, and we're going to stand back. Now, I understand I'm apparently asking too much. Okay, I'm asking something that I know you've told me 1,000 times is not going to happen. They are 13-72 in their last 85 games. Where's your breaking point if you're the Suns organization?
I think it's coming because the plan changed. Because listen, I think there are many teams that, and this is what's wrong with the NBA, there are many teams that believe that the best way to build a team is to lose. The best way to build a team is to lose. And I've believed that for years too. I always say you can't be in the middle. You can't be in the middle because you don't get a good draft pick. And so there are a lot of teams that believed it. But sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. There's no guarantee. Like, there's no guarantee that if you're in the lottery every year for 7 years, you're going to have a good team. You could take 10 teams and put them all in the lottery for 7 years. A couple of those teams are going to be really good. Some of those teams are going to suck, and some of them are going to be okay. The point is, there's no guarantee. There's a belief in the NBA that the best way to build a team is to lose, to go through a suffering period of 5 or 6 years, to be in the lottery and to get high draft picks and high caliber players that can get you out of that funk. That's the best way to do it. But it's not a guarantee.
Right.
Plenty of teams have done that and failed.
He's the most vilified commissioner of all of sports. And now it seems that even Roger Goodell's allies want him replaced as well. We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Newsmakers Week 2019. There's a different kind of player talking with Doug and Wolf this week. The front office players and decision makers who impact the sports landscape in Arizona with every move they make. Newsmakers Week 2019. If you miss the live interviews, subscribe to the Doug and Wolf podcast and get them delivered to your phone. Newsmakers Week 2019. Presented by Enterprise Bank and Trust. 98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station.
She's not going to want to cook tonight. She's not. And maybe it's, you know, because it's a Thursday night. You don't have time to go out to dinner. You don't want to, you know, avoid the big rush at the restaurant. You can't get a reservation. Payway delivers. Payway delivers. Yeah, don't make her cook on a Thursday night. Have a beautiful meal delivered right to your door with the Payway delivery right now. It's great meals. The food's fantastic. It really is. The food is great. The new cauliflower rice bowls are great. The ginger chicken and broccoli, the Mongolian beef. Yeah, listen, if you can't get a reservation at some fancy restaurant, if you don't want to blow $200 on dinner, Payway delivers. Food's in, it's outstanding. Average meal at Payway is about $10 for a great meal. And Payway delivers. Go online at Payway.com, download the Payway app, and say, honey, listen,
you know what? I got you some flowers. I got you some candy. I'm going to take care of dinner tonight, too. I'm going to pay way delivered. Yeah, that's a great way to go. We love Payway. Our family loves it. We enjoy it. It's awesome food. It's healthy food. The ingredients are fresh, cooked to order. And now, of course, they deliver. So go online at payway.com. Don't let your wife cook today. Have some Payway delivered to you.
D-backs spring training kicks off Saturday, February 23rd at Salt River Field at Talking Stick. Don't miss out on the action. Get tickets now for all the spring training games at dbacks.com/spring.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
Get a $50 credit to give your first job posting premium placement at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, quality standards, and usage limits apply. Additional terms online.
Hey, Arizona. This President's Day, if you are shopping for a car, truck, SUV, or crossover, you owe it to yourself to check out your Valley Chevy dealers. During the President's Day sales event, get excited to take home the all-new 2019 Chevy Silverado. The Chevy Silverado goes from work to play with its durable features and its comfortable cabin. Don't miss out on our current offers on all of the award-winning cars, trucks, SUVs, and crossovers in the Valley. See your Valley Chevy dealers today during the President's Day sales event going on now.
Lisa Hafner from My Guy Referrals, my favorite referral site for hundreds of services. Go to MyGuy.com and relax in knowing you've hired the best. Consumers love singing their praises and their phone number.
867-5309.
867-5309. 867-5309.
Make My Guy your guy and visit MyGuy.com or
call 602 and the number 867-5309.
Hey, this is Wolf, and you hear me talk about Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley every day. But today I'm on the phone with Tom. And Tom, you needed to update your home, and you needed some solid advice.
That's correct. I called Carol Royce's team, and she came out and went through the house with me, had photos taken, made some recommendations for new flooring, carpeting, painting. And before I even got all that work done, she had a buyer come in and made an offer, and I accepted it.
It's great having someone who has the expertise, knows the market, and what attracts buyers, isn't it? It's not just the sign in your front yard and the pictures on the internet. They do so much more, don't they?
Oh, yes. They look at the house and they make good recommendations on what you can do to make it saleable.
Why would you recommend Carol Royce to someone right now who is looking to sell their home?
I would tell them, go call them because they will get the job done.
Call the Carol Royce team, 480-776-5231. That's 480-776-5231. Or go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
Sponsored by Kronos, HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system designed with a streamlined implementation approach for small and medium-sized businesses across the globe. Learn more at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
The Burns and Gambo Show.
Yeah, I blame you.
Dave Burns.
God, not my fault. Don't blame me. No, don't pass this off on me.
John Gambadoro.
You're the driver.
No, don't even start that
You're
game,
You're the
pal.
Driver.
You be in control of your own emotions over there.
Burns and Gambo, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
You lead me to these emotions.
I just got to say this real quick. And
yeah.
You were doing your thing over there on your phone. I didn't want to bother you.
Yeah.
I should have said, hey, look up on the monitor for a second. I was just watching with the sound turned down. Dan Le Batard is highly questionable. You didn't see what he just showed video of some kid, I think it was in China, juggling three Rubik's cubes that were all mixed up. And while he was juggling them, he was solving them.
Are you serious?
Because while he was juggling them,
for the split second the Rubik's cube is in his hand, he's moving one of the slots with his finger.
I have to see this.
And so he's juggling these Rubik's cubes, and they zoom in real tight on his hands, and you can see his fingers moving the Rubik's cubes parts around while he and it took him like 90 seconds to solve three Rubik's cubes while juggling them. Simultaneously. And I was looking at it,
man,
going,
that kid needs to get out more. Play a sport or something.
This is the craziest I've
Is this it right here?
Let's see. Flip it around. Yeah, that's it.
Right there?
What? Yeah, it's nuts. He was in China. It was the craziest
thing. Man, that kid
thing.
Needs to go outside. He needs to get to see some sun. Like, man.
It was.
No, I'm looking at that kid right now. I'm worried about him down the road.
They were debating on the show whether it was mankind's greatest accomplishment that he was able to do that. I don't know, man.
He solved three
while juggling them.
I'm watching right now.
See how he's moving them with his fingers? I assume we're going to tweet this out, right, on the Burns and Gambo Twitter account?
This is ridiculous.
At Burns and Gambo, we're going to tweet this out so you can see this video. It is the most
absurd. Man, this guy needs a date for Valentine's Day.
Most absurd thing I've ever seen in my life. It was crazy.
Wow.
I should have said, Gambo, watch this, but you were doing your
fastest time ever to solve three Rubik's Cubes while juggling.
Anyway, sorry to derail everything, but man, that was just top of mind stuff right there. We'll tweet the link out to the video.
It makes us feel so inferior when we see people like that.
Tell me about it.
Like, I can't do anything.
I can barely get through a crossword puzzle without cheating. The guy's solving three Rubik's Cubes at the same time while juggling them.
He solved three while juggling in 5 minutes. I couldn't solve one if you locked me in a room for a year. For a year! You could leave, like, today. You could put me in here today, send me food for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and come back in a year, and I still won't have the damn thing solved.
At that point, you could just peel the stickers off and place them in the right spot.
I wouldn't be smart enough to figure that out.
At that point, you could just call. You could go on Amazon. You could have a Rubik's Cube that solved delivered to the room that you're locked in and say, okay, I solved it. There you go.
I could never solve one of those things. That's too hard.
All right, so there's that. We're going to tweet out the video to that. You'll see it. It's just some of the nutsiest stuff you've ever seen. Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, says that he has not, quote, given any thought, close quote, to inquiries by NFL owners about his willingness to switch leagues and become commissioner of the NFL. While Silver did not explicitly confirm that he had been approached by several NFL owners, sources close to the situation told ESPN several NFL owners have tried to persuade Silver to run their league over the course of his 5 years as the NBA's commissioner.
Oh, my God, I love this.
Silver has also been approached by a number of Fortune 500 companies as well. Silver told ESPN, quote, I'll just say I have not given it any thought. I feel very fortunate to be in this position. League revenue in the NBA has grown in the 5 years. This is
doubled.
It's doubled. Yeah, the five-year anniversary of him being on the job. It's doubled, basically. $4.8 to $9.1 billion in revenue since he's become the commissioner.
You know, I mean, it has to be a faction of NFL owners that are so disgusted with Roger Goodell and want to change and want somebody different. They see what Adam Silver's doing in the NBA, and they're tired of Roger Goodell. I mean, he's just a terrible, terrible commissioner. He's awful. And you know, Adam Silver's done a good job with the NBA. He's been there for 5 years since taking over for David Stern. It's been 5 years now. But there are probably, I mean, I can imagine Jerry Jones, and there's a lot of other owners that are probably secretly trying to see if they could find a way to replace Roger Goodell.
I'm glad you said that, because that to me is the next part to the story. I would love to know which NFL owners were trying to get Adam Silver, because
it's got to be Jerry Jones. Remember what happened with Ezekiel Elliott's suspension? I mean, absolutely, it's got to be him.
You would think, but then I wonder which NFL owners are happy that which NFL owners have a degree of control over Roger Goodell and are happy that he's running the league, I guess is what I'm trying to say. You know, which NFL owners like Roger Goodell running the show because they know they have vast amounts of influence over Roger Goodell, as opposed to some other owners who don't like what he's doing or think they need to be more progressive or thinks that they need to be. I mean, the NBA, you know, say what you want about how the Anthony Davis situation went down and how David Stern might have handled it. Other than that, Adam Silver runs a really nice ship in the NBA. You don't hear any problems about kneeling and national anthems, and players feel like they have a voice. Players feel like they're in a partnership with the league. They've embraced gambling. They've embraced esports.
They took the damn Super Bowl away from the NFL for a week.
Pretty much.
They did.
Trade deadline.
They took it away. Yeah, they've stolen the publicity playbook. We're seeing it firsthand on a regular basis.
They reformed the draft lottery. They're willing to change to see if they can do things better, see if they can improve things. The debacle in New Orleans with the NFC Championship game in the NFL and the NBA, man, they admit their mistakes all the time. They come out and say that they got this wrong or they got that wrong. They're willing to be fluid about stuff. I'm not saying the NBA is perfect, but there is a lot that the NBA does that the NFL could learn from. And it sounds like at least a few NFL owners tried to pluck the guy who's in charge of a lot of that to see if he'd run their league.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like a little bit of a coup, to be honest with you.
I mean, owners in New Orleans, owners in New England, owners in New York. I mean, there are a lot of owners that might, you know, they might have an issue with Roger Goodell and be ready for him to go. Now, I think he's got a 5-year contract, or it is he's going to want even more money for the next contract. And some of these owners could be getting together and saying, okay, look, enough's enough. You know, the guys, I mean, he does not do a good job as the commissioner of the league. There's been so many issues, so many problems that have arisen with the league on a regular basis. The NFL's always having problems. And the NBA, yeah. I mean, it's just the NBA has its share of problems, lack of parity, right? Super teams, stuff like that. I've even said, you know, under David Stern, I don't think this, you know, Anthony Davis to LA thing that like would have happened. But if they're reaching out to Adam Silver, I think that they're trying to put somebody in place to replace Roger Goodell.
Hoping that you have a chance to subscribe to our show, the Burns and Gambo show, on our Burns and Gambo podcast. We'll digitally deliver the show to you every single day on your iPhone, your Android. You can listen to it whenever you want.
Digitally delivered.
You'll never miss any of the show. It's never. The Burns and Gambo podcast. It's brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealers. Maybe you can digitally deliver the solution to a Rubik's Cube for Gambo so he doesn't have to be locked in a room for a year. On paper. They're one of the better teams in the conference, but they're not playing these games on paper. On the court, ASU's got some work to do. Can they get it done? We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.